Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 28th. Joining us this morning, simple country therapist Lou Quimby.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's not your cue to yawn. That's your cue to say something.
And a gracious good morning to you.
Yeah. And we always go back to that timing phrase, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You found a quote in there?
I did. Would you like it now instead of later?
Yeah, I think now would be the appropriate time. Yeah,
okay. This is interesting. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
That sounds a little heavy duty for a Friday, but
it's from A Course in Miracles. But really, it's ordinary, everyday stuff. People get in the way of themselves, and then they can't see. They don't know what they're going after, why they're going for it, what it means. Blah blah blah.
Do we get sucked into routine? Just
of course we do.
Mindless routine.
Oh, well, a lot of things are mindless. Yeah, a lot of things you don't need to use your mind for. Right? Some things become habitual. Brush your teeth. Say your prayers. Go to sleep. That's a mindless ritual. The value of it is a different issue than you don't have to think about it to do it. Right? But I'm a flight instructor, among other things, and the checklists are not mindless. They have to be done by the numbers on purpose. And one of the ways that people get into trouble in flying is going down their checklist, they'll get interrupted by something. A lineman comes up to check the gas, or something. One of your passengers asks you a question, or you drop something on the floor, and then you come back to your checklist, and you may have skipped an item or two on the checklist. So there are some routines that are not mindless, of which that is one. And there are some routines we just do them because they get the job done. We don't have to think about other things while we're doing it. Vacuuming the floor is not a terribly mindful activity.
Cutting blackberry vines.
Right. Yeah, well, now, yeah, if you're using equipment
by hand, not with electronic equipment, or the mechanical stuff, just the clipper.
Oh, okay.
You keep your finger away. Okay, that's the
right.
One thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. What opinions do you have about that guy, and I forget who it was, what airline, who was going to be a co-pilot and tried to board drunk earlier this
drunk?
Week? Drunk?
Drunk. Fire him. Period.
Why do they put him on suspension, typically?
Oh, that's lawyer talk.
Okay. He's headed out the exit door anyway.
Yeah, it's just going to take a little longer. Yeah, okay. No, fire him.
I would think that would be one of the cardinal sins of flying.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. And if you see him and the pilot in the lounge together.
Change airlines.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I thought it was more of a black and white kind of a thing. KINS, News and Information Times 819. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, Halloween is kind of an interesting event.
No, it's not.
Whether it's a holiday or not. Well, it's intriguing for me. Smart guy. It may not be interesting for you, okay, but it intrigues me.
Oh, yeah? In what way?
Why? What is it that makes us either feel good or embrace, or where did Halloween come from? And why do we continue with it?
Well, now you're going to go down that road to magical thinking and mysticism. And
vroom, vroom, vroom. Okay, let's go down the road.
No, I'm not going down that road this morning. No. No. I'll go down the other road that I opened up about looking on the inside, the Course in Miracles thing about looking on the inside. Don't be looking on the outside for love, because you find yourself looking in all the wrong places. But if you look inside, there's three things that will routinely, 100%, guaranteed, always, stop the search, stop the path, stop the awareness, stop knowing yourself. And those are the ABCs, anger, blame, and criticism. That'll stop it, guaranteed. So that's much more interesting to me than the recreational value of Halloween or other celebrations.
Do most cultures have an equivalent?
Of Halloween?
Yeah.
Well, there's boogeymen everywhere. Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't know. You know, you talk to some folks and Halloween is a aw shucks, family-focused event.
Well, all things have changed.
Others are dealing with the supernatural or what's perceived as being supernatural. Others, it's an opportunity to remember, to recognize, kind of like All Saints Day and some of the other more religious events, those that have gone before us. So it serves different functions for different people, but it does seem to be kind of, regardless of what your particular picadillos may be, everybody does something in association with this event.
Picadillo. I had a picadillo once.
Yeah, I did. Would you feed it?
Oh, that's a good line. Okay. I got to remember that.
So what function does Halloween provide in cultures?
Well, in this culture, it's a holiday era attitude. Everybody gets to go out and rob other people. Kids get to eat candy until their gums are rotting out of their mouth. Or at least that's the theory and the practice, anyway. It's a distraction. It's a difference. There's not... In that value, it's not unlike going to the beach, digging up clams, or going to the movies. Or
pretty tame.
I think reasonable, yeah.
Go back a couple of years ago, though, and it was had different definitions and different connotations.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on how far back you go. I grew up where people did not put razor blades in apples. I was a grown-up when that started happening, when people started poisoning children and hurting them for the Halloween stuff. So there's a whole different generation there. Those were the good old days, the innocent days, which weren't all that innocent anyway. But children could walk alone at night without too much trouble. And now it's not authorized, not guaranteed, not a good idea. Not a good idea. So, institutionalization of those kinds of celebrations gives somebody something to look forward to, among other things, right? But if you believe in ghosts, then that's your time to howl, as it were. That would be superstitious and...
Well, where did Devil's Eve come from? Detroit seems to wrestle with annually.
Devil's Eve.
Devil's Night, Devil's Eve, yeah.
Don't know. I haven't done a whole lot of research.
Apparently not. We're not going too far on this.
No, I understand. Kind of a non-starter.
This is a short road.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing on it. No. Barely even a parking place.
Yeah. Okay, what about respect for the dead? How does that play out in a lot of societies? Is the reverence for those?
Well, it's interesting that some societies have institutionalized respect for the dead in that after somebody dies, then you can't talk about the reality of their life. You can only talk about the misty wonderfulness of what they did that once. But not talking about, what are the good, don't talk ill of the dead. I don't know why. They're not going to come back and get you, right? But that's common in this culture, is that after somebody dies, then you can't talk about the reality of their life, only the good, wonderful, excellent things that they did, which is kind of sad. That also means when they were alive, you couldn't talk much about their good side or bad side either, unless you were being secretive about it. So there are some things about reality that kind of are off table, off the limits, not being willing to talk about.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Lou, the concept of not willing to talk about or having topics off the table, particularly of folks who have died, reverence for people, protecting image, because I really enjoy history, but so much of what our history is around here is oral because nobody's willing to write it down. Well, if you don't write it down, then it disappears. And now we don't have an accurate reflection of it.
Or it gets distorted. It gets romanticized, and there's this
warm,
rosy glow over the past.
You know, particularly for an area that's only 160 years old,
yeah.
We should be able to go back and reconstruct most of that stuff.
I would think so, yes.
Or at least get close.
Sure. But that means you got to do some interviewing of people who were there, and 130 years ago, you can't do that. So you got a combination of talking to old people, and
memories.
They're only going back to, maybe the 20s, if you're lucky.
Right. Or maybe they might have grandma and grandpa's partial.
Well, they can have that
knowledge.
Memory, too.
Yeah.
Then you get the memories, and then you write them down. And if you're doing a real thorough job, you start cross-checking the hundreds of old people.
You mean vetting? The information, getting more than one source?
That's
a novel concept these days.
Right.
But
so you start cross-checking your information for accuracy, and then you start filtering out the rosy glow of memory, and then you look at old records and look at the courts and start doing research. It's difficult to find out what the reality was. Even when you look at the trial transcript, it's hard to know what's true and not true, right?
Sure.
You look at property line disputes, for example, or civil actions about debts and who owns what. And then there's the seamy side, the low-level side, the drinking, child abuse, drugs, theft, embezzlement. People don't like talking about those things. I don't know why. They're facts of the matter. They also point to other things, like you were talking about earlier, about airplane co-pilot who gets busted for drinking. They point to other things. If a pilot drinks before he flies, and he's an airline pilot, you got to wonder what the rest of his life is like, huh? If he doesn't pay attention that much. So if you're doing research for local history, it's a good idea to cross-check. See if you can get multiple stories about the same experience, incident, or person.
So what are the areas
off-limits
that ought to be triggers for or the keys for accuracy? Just multiple sources saying the same thing?
There's all money manipulation. If you get money manipulation, if you get somebody who's married 8 times, that could be problematic. Somebody's married 4 times, it could be early death, could be disease, could be a number of unfortunate circumstances. But somebody's married 8 times, and it's curious about the circumstances for that. You follow? So it's always useful to cross-check information, data. But then you got to have people who are willing to talk about that. So there's a lot of stuff just goes away because the people that know about it die and it's never written down in the first place and nobody interviewed them. What about Aunt Martha? We don't talk about Aunt Martha. Why not? Well, she was crazy. So? What kind of crazy? Well, we don't know. They just put her away. Well, now you get people put away as a matter of convenience rather than legitimate mental illness or lack of social capacity to not run amok through the streets, naked, screaming, with their hair on fire. So there's all kinds of things that happen. How power is abused and misused. People get arrested, put away, silenced, all sorts of things. And then people say, well, that can't happen here. And you go, oh, yes, it can.
Well, one of the things that is intriguing for me is how societal norms have evolved.
Yeah.
So what might have been not worthy of speaking of 110 years ago or 100 years ago, right now may be celebrated. We just, you know, locally we can just see how marijuana has changed.
Right.
From being, you know, the killer drug to accepted and, you know, commonplace out in the open, nobody cares here locally.
Yeah, and part of that perception is the PC-ness of that as well. Nobody cares. Yeah, a lot of people still care. But the attitude is partly politicized, and partly it's the drip, drip, drip of erosion that just keeps things down.
Well, drunk, you know, alcohol abuse.
Alcohol abuse.
Part of the culture of the logging and fishing,
right,
in the 1890s.
Sure.
And it's certainly changed, and, you know, the happy drunk doesn't exist anymore in most people's perspectives.
Our drugs of choice are changing, too, except for Starbucks, which has kept kept caffeine alive. But our drugs of choice are changing. Tobacco is having less impact on the culture than it did, say, after World War II, when in World War II, every K-ration had cigarettes packed in it. So a lot of young men learned to smoke during the war, which didn't smoke before. So tobacco's now losing a lot of its cachet that it had before. And marijuana, there's no, I don't know if there's any measure for impairment. Alcohol, it's below 0.08 alcohol. But I don't know if there's any test for impairment from marijuana. Do you?
Not universally embraced. I know that there are some that are out there, but it hasn't been sanctified by the government.
Yeah, I don't know of anything that the police carry around to test people.
Right. They... the individuals have strong recommendations, but again, it hasn't been accepted at the state level. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, does a society, how a society deals with its dead, reflect on the health of the society?
Oh, I think so. The same way that you can talk about society, how society deals with its children reflects the health of a society. How society deals with a woman, how it deals with the law. Yes, it is reflect.
Somebody had pointed out a couple months ago, my current passion is in cemeteries.
Yeah?
That a lot of societies don't bury their dead. I mean, you run out of room. It's a finite thing. And it's been intriguing to me since. I know, some of them have funeral pyres and things of that nature. It's a different process of respect for the dead and how they deal with it. It just kind of started the ball rolling for me a little bit of thinking, how do you deal with folks? How do you memorialize them? How do you deal with the physicality of it all?
Well, you remember the old family Bible, which was thick, and it had lots of places in it for history and who did what about what.
Yeah, the family tree, the biography.
And there was lots of, it was the record of the family, basically. Well, if you want to look at how families dealt with, we don't do that anymore.
Either the Bible or the writing down.
Or the
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow morning.